radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. Call in 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
You're listening to Teen Trends with Dave and Friends with your host, David Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Going, guys, Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. Here we are once again in the studio, latalkradio.com, the best talk station in the world. How's it going, guys? This is Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. Here we are every Sunday. I'm your host, David Cohen. And as you guys know, we have special guests in the studio today. We got my co-host, Kevy.
Hey, guys.
How's it going?
Going well.
And I want to thank Dr. Michelle very much for once again coming on the air live with us. Teen
my
Trends.
Pleasure.
Everybody, just to let you guys know, you should check out On the Couch, Dr. Michelle, every Friday at 11 o'clock, 11 a.m., that is. Check her out.
Pacific Standard Time.
Pacific Standard Time, indeed. She is an on-air and off-air psychologist, yes, along with a radio personality. She is a beautiful woman.
Why, thank you.
Along with all of those things, charming.
Thank you.
She has a nice smile.
Thank you.
Too much of that.
Keep it going. Since you like me so much, can I have a loan?
I am not as abundant.
Sorry. Not yet.
No, not yet. Indeed. Only 18. Hey, guys, it was my birthday on Friday.
Happy birthday!
Hey, thanks. Just throwing that out there. Now I'm a legal adult. If I do anything bad, I can go to jail now.
Yay!
Instead of just juvie.
Uh-oh.
But hey, I don't do bad stuff, so.
Good.
Most of the time. Keep my fingers crossed.
Good for you. Well, happy birthday.
Thank you very much. So this is Teen Trends with Dave and Friends, the show where we talk about anything and everything from religion, social aspects, anything you guys want.
Okay.
Ideas, different ways of thinking, perceiving yourself and your surroundings. You know, this is the show where we just get to talk.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's from the teen perspective, hence Teen Trends.
With Dave and Friends.
Thank you, Kevy. So, on the show today, I want to talk about something called intention.
Intention.
Thank you, Kevin, for pointing out my voice crack. Yes, I am still going through puberty.
You're 18.
Shut up. something about intention. My a dear friend of mine, I was having a conversation with his mom, who I'm also very good friends with. She is a pretty big part of my life just because of the things we talk about, the things she's opened me up to. She showed me different things about this world that we live in. Showed me different things about myself. She gave me this book called The Intention Experiment, Using Your Thoughts to Change Your Life and the World.
Mm.
It is by Lynn McTaggart. Summary of this book basically is, there's multiple aspects of this book. It kind of has a universal, almost like spiritual feel to it, but the thing about it is it has nothing, not a lot of stuff to do with metaphysics or spirituality per se. It has aspects of it, but what brings the spiritual aspects out of it are the scientific experiments.
Yeah.
Everything in this book is scientific.
Cool.
They have done scientific experiments with multi-million dollar equipment,
professors from universities,
exactly. Yeah.
Like all these high-level scientists. And the thing is, you don't have to be a spiritual person per se to apply the lessons taught in this book to your life, because it's kind of like this book I used to read, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he's like pretty much the guru of self-realization. Like,
yeah.
and all that. And it was a very straightforward book, and you just apply the lessons that you've learned from the book, whether they go with your beliefs or not, and they do affect your life in a positive way.
Is that like the principles of like powerful positive thinking kind of thing?
It's positive thinking. Mm-hmm. How to view yourself, just like growing as a person in like all aspects, whether it's, well, that book's more of a financial book because Napoleon Hill was a millionaire back
in his
time, and that's why he was writing it. But it was weird because although it focused on like finance and like getting wealth and stuff, it honestly, it doesn't really have to do with that as much as it is growing as a person and set like knowing how to like formulate plans and like if you have something that you want to do in your life, it perfectly helps you map out like the steps to take to get to that point in your life.
Right.
Change your thoughts, change your life.
There you go. Done.
Kevin, something you just brought up, formatting steps to change your life. In the intention experiment, I'm going to read a paragraph from the book. This has to do with scientists doing experiments to prove the fact that you control your life.
Wow.
I want to let listeners know that by the end of the show, our goal is to allow you the possible idea that you control every aspect of your life, allow you the possibility to consider the fact that you have total control, that you bring things, that you can bring what you want in your life by simple thought. If you guys want to call in, have questions, have answers, something of the sorts, you may do so on the air live, 323-203-0815. Once again, that number is 323-203-0815. Or you can email me at my email, dcsboarding, that's BORDING 514 at AOL.com. You can call us, email us live. We'll talk to you on the air. So let me get to this paragraph. This is how to control your life. Scientists began designing and carrying out experiments, testing what they gave unwieldily label directed remote mental influence or psychokinesis, or in shorthand, intention or even intentionally. Here we go. A textbook definition of intention characterizes it as a purposeful plan to perform an action which will lead to a desired outcome.
Right.
Unlike, this is important, unlike a desire, which means simply focusing on an outcome without a purposeful plan of how to achieve it. An intention was directed at the intender's own actions. It intended deed. It required some sort of reasoning. It required a commitment to do the intended deed. Right? So, like, you had to be dedicated to do this, per se. Right? Intention implies purposefulness. Here we go. This is the sentence right here. An understanding of a plan of action and a planned satisfactory result. Let me say that one more time. An understanding of a plan of action and a planned satisfactory result. Meaning that you want something in your life. Let's say something completely hypothetical. Okay. Let's say you want a choir solo. You want to sing in a choir, so you guys are singing a song in choir class and you want a solo, okay? Or better yet, you want a lead part in a play. That's more realistic. You want a lead part in the play.
Yeah.
Okay. The only possible outcome that you could get from doing a plan of action, from literally for planning something out, so you're going to say, okay, I'm going to do this. And obviously it has to apply, like, I'm going to become the character, per se. Okay? You have to believe, you have to know, and you have to allow yourself to believe that you deserve this. That this is your role. So you have this plan of action, you learn the lines, you get in character. The only possible outcome from you putting in the work that you did is you get the role. Nothing else besides that. Because if you put out the thought that, oh, what if I don't get it? Then that's fogginess.
Right.
That's foggy. And I know it's like hard to like grasp the concept of like, oh, what you think is what you live, you know? But it's so true. Kevin, in the book, Think and Grow Rich, I remember when we were talking about this topic, you brought up a certain like steps
for like building an action plan.
Right.
Yeah.
So basically, when I was reading the book, the things that I really enjoyed most about it were just like how to, okay, you have something in your life like that you really want. Everyone has that. They have that light at the end of the road that they want to reach.
On multiple occasions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No matter whether it's a relationship, wealth, whatever it may be. And to get there, Napoleon Hill described it in three letters, this thing called OVA, which is outcome-driven, value-focused action plan.
Cool.
So basically what that means, I think I might be wrong, but what that means is you have a goal. That's outcome. So you have a goal that you want to reach, and then your values would be why you want this thing in your life. Like, why you want this certain thing.
Go on.
And, like, how it would help you and benefit you in your life. And then what you have to do after that is make an action plan and stick to that action plan.
Right.
Because if you stray from the path and say times are rough and you have your plan set up and, like, things aren't going your way, honestly, you can't stop and you can't let down from your plan. Like, you have to be 100% committed, 100% faithful that this will work. And when it all comes through and when you get to the end of the road, like, you will have that outcome that you want.
And the important part about that is when.
Yeah.
Not if, when.
When.
Right?
Yeah.
That's all about the mindset.
When it's going to happen.
When it's going to happen.
Right.
There should be no ifs, ands, or buts. It's always, it should be a certain thing. You
and
know?
Along
like, you know you're going to have it.
Along the lines of Kevin, in the Power of Intention books, same thing. They have basically four steps.
Okay.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, number one, get clear about something you want,
something
you've dreamt about,
something
you really want. Write it down in front of your face.
Write
it down. You know, put it in your computer. So it may be your screensaver. Every time you turn on that computer, it's
That'd
there.
That'd be cool.
Pop it up.
Yeah.
Share that intention of what you want with someone in a way that will supportively hold you accountable. So if you have a best friend.
To like back you up.
To
and,
back you up. How you doing on that, man? Not nag. Not
people
you feel are going to guilt you.
People that are
going
to add positive
people,
energy
exactly.
towards it. Right.
Do something today. This is number three. Do something every day to demonstrate your commitment to your intention. So whatever you want to do. The actor.
Right.
You said the actor. Go in front of the mirror and be that character.
That's exactly like this concept, auto-suggestion.
Yes.
Where you just tell yourself every day that basically just sit in front of the mirror for 5 minutes, morning and night, before you when you wake up, before you go to bed, and tell yourself your action plan, reread it, and just like go through it every day.
Yeah.
And it will be so much clearer by the end of that.
Yeah. And then you acknowledge that you did what you said you would do every day, even 5 minutes, like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then do it every day.
Right.
And then take the next step of like, what can I do now to make it closer, get it closer to me?
Yeah.
So there you go.
Everything in your possible power to only add positive energy towards that coming into your life.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
something that I want to share from my personal experiences.
Yeah.
I have indeed. I've always been interested in the idea of manifestation, always been interested in the idea of controlling your life. I believe it's existentialism.
What is the manifestation that you're talking about? Maybe
just
you can
anything.
Clarify for readers.
Okay, manifestation. You want something in your life. You bring it to you by believing you should, no. Here we go. You bring it to you by allowing the abundance to enter your life. Think of it as abundance. Don't think of it as I need this, I want this.
Uh-huh.
It is abundance. Let it be spiritual abundance. Let it be materialistic abundance. Let it be love, abundance of love, abundance of friendship, abundance of understanding for yourself and your surroundings. You allow the abundance to come in by keeping an open door.
Ah,
okay.
But there's no fear involved. So you don't any thought that goes like, oh, but what if I'm not worthy? Oh, but what if I'm not good enough? Oh, but that's, you got to just shoot those out of
that,
there.
That
those out
itself
of there.
Manifests.
Right.
That fear
right.
is what the energy is turning into.
It's going to block
exactly.
what you want.
Exactly. Okay. I'm also going to talk about the power of thought and how thought manifests itself into physical energy. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later in the show.
Okay.
I'm going to remind everybody and be like, hey, remember what I was talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. But I want to share some personal experiences of my own. How I learned the idea of manifestation and applied it to my life and started working on it. And eventually, you know, it's like a muscle. You flex the muscle. The
right.
more you work it out, the better you get, you know. And that's when you become conscious of it. When you become conscious of the idea of being able to control your life is when you can start to flex the muscle, okay? Let's start out the radio show.
Okay.
Uh-huh. All right. Okay. I'm Dave. And this is Teen Trends with Dave and Friends, okay? Before this radio show was ever even an idea within my consciousness, within my thought, okay, I have always felt the need. I've always felt the almost purpose within my life to talk, to spread message, and to help people. So what I did is I thought, and I allowed myself, I said I would call it praying, meditating, whatever you want to call it, connecting with something higher than yourself. Actually, connecting with your inner self, connecting with your higher self,
yes,
per se.
Within yourself.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
What I did is I simply closed my eyes and I said, thank you. Not I want, uh-huh. not I wish for, mm-hmm. thank you. For allowing me an opportunity to spread message. Thank you for allowing me an opportunity to speak what I feel as if I am supposed to speak for a lot of people to hear. Thank you.
Now, a lot of people would say,
I wish.
People, yes, exactly. Or
right.
I want. So that
want.
Kind of. That kind of.
That muddles it.
Okay, because that makes it murky.
Think about
it's
it like this.
Crystal clear.
Think about it like this.
Okay.
Okay, and once again, we're going to go, you're crazy. No, dude, I'm not. Yo. Well, you can
you
think that if you
crazy.
Want. You can think that if you
I
want. I don't really
crazy.
Care. Yo, the universe acts as a mirror.
Yes.
It's true. Okay? So we have the universe acting as this big mirror with thoughts. So you think, I wish, the only thing you're going to get back is an I wish. You
right.
think, thank you, you put gratuity into it. Thank you implies that you already have it. What do you say when you get a present?
Thank you.
Thank you. Why are you thanking? Because you just received that present. Therefore, I'm thanking for receiving what I feel I should be allowed within my life. So, radio show.
Yeah, you haven't even received it yet. That's really cool, yeah.
Right?
But
right?
it's yeah. a knowing and it's a knowing not. Now some people would say, is there like a narcissistic ego trip going on here? I mean, people would argue,
no,
well,
totally.
Is this person like, I deserve to spread the message. I'm
right,
special.
Right, right.
Are you a narcissistic person?
I do not consider myself to be a narcissistic person.
Okay.
I feel as if I should spread message simply because there's something within me that this little a little bit of Dave. I've always felt as if there's something within me where I have the ability, once again, not in a narcissistic way, simply in a way that I've been blessed with an ability to help people.
Okay.
Just like Dr. Michelle has been blessed with the ability to help people through psychology.
Yes, thank you.
Why did you become a psychologist?
Same reason. I just got it's sort of selfish, but maybe not. If I can help people figure out, you know, insightful issues about
right.
themselves and how they, you know, got to feeling so bad about
right.
themselves and how they got to such a self-destructive place and then going backwards and working through that through insight and then bringing them back through positive psychotherapy,
right, right.
which I'll touch on a little bit too,
right.
it made me feel so good to give.
Right.
To give that.
Right.
Because I was given empathy in my life. I was given empathy and I was shown it.
Right.
It's a good feeling. Empathy is like a drug. You know,
yeah,
when
no,
you
it
feel
really
empathy
is.
For others and love others,
yeah.
you just want to give more.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
if that's narcissistic, so be it. But that's
I'm
how I feel.
I'm going to completely have to disagree with the idea that it's narcissistic.
Yeah, not at all.
Helping people is the absolute opposite of narcissism.
I kind of think it's what it's about in life.
I can see the narcissistic aspect of it being I have per se information that you don't.
Right.
So therefore, you could be saying like, "Oh, I have more insight than you."
That's so special.
No, but it's not like that.
Right.
It is not like that.
Right.
comes down to fact. If you do have more insight than the other person who needs help, why not share it?
Well, absolutely. Okay? Exactly.
You have this insight. You have this information. You've been given the empathy for a reason. Display it.
And for me too, and for I think everyone on this planet, what it's about is we all live together. Every ethnic, every religious,
right.
every different type of background, we're all the same
right.
within our hearts and our souls. So, you know, helping or being there and giving and loving each other, that's the energy. That's the life. That's what it's about.
That's the life force.
That's what
Love.
It's all.
Love.
That's why we're all put here.
Yeah.
Now, whatever stage we're in of growing and learning and all that, we just need to kind of go through stages
right.
to learn to be. And but it's about loving.
Totally.
It's about giving. And I don't mean to sound like an old hippie.
No. See, not at all. That's, that's the disconnect when people hear, you know, oh, love, man. No, dude, it's true.
Yeah.
Actually, Dr. Michelle, I recall you, you were showing me a book by, I believe it's Ramtha.
Right.
And she said that... the glue of the universe mm-hmm. is love.
Yeah.
The glue of the universe is love. And then I asked Dr. Michelle, I was like, Doc, explain it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You did. It's about, and it's exactly what it says.
Right.
She goes further to say, and this is an old, like 80s person who channels this spirit.
Yeah.
Now, I'm still the jury's out on channeling for me, if people really do, but whatever, however we can get wise words, I'll take it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This Ramtha person that wrote this white book, and I'll be brief about it, basically is the glue of the universe and what we are is the love, and it's the thought. Thought holds
right.
things together. Loving thoughts keeps things together, basically.
Right.
So that's basically what it is. So we're all... You know, when we don't have love and we have hate, when we have terrorism, when
right.
we have, you know, every day we get up, we have angst.
It's
we
destruction.
Want to get high. We want to get messed up. Our lives are horrible, whatever. It causes destruction around us.
Yeah.
You know, chaos. People who come in contact with us have to protect themselves if we're in a negative place. So
right.
it's all
totally.
About trying to keep in a really good place. It's hard to sometimes in this world of chaos.
And another thing that you said, which is, I believe, really prominent. This was my proof, which hopefully can be your proof, that love really is the glue of the universe. Here we go. You, Dr. Michelle, you said that you to look around. Okay, so people that are listening, look around right now. Everything you see, for it to be there, somebody had to love it. Somebody had to love either the idea of the house that you're in right now, the idea of the chair that you're sitting in, the idea that the computer that you're on. They either loved the idea or they loved the result of the idea. Something drove them so powerfully to create this. Love.
Like love ties into passion,
right?
Faith. Like almost every like positive like emotional concept in
right.
life that
right.
love can tie into, you know.
I want to go on to actually this is okay. I'll bring it up now. When I was like, hey, the physical manifestation of love, or you know, the physical idea of how thoughts actually affect physical things,
like positive and negative thoughts can affect differently.
Completely. In this book, The Intention Experiment, which. I've also seen this, Dr. Michelle, in the movie What the Bleep Do We Know?
Oh, that was so awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
It's really cool. Let me explain the experiment. So, scientists got cups of water. They set out cups of water. They put words on the cups of water. They put on one cup of water, I love you. The next cup of water, I hate you and you make me sick. The next cup of water, peace. The next cup of water, you're beautiful.
And they had monks.
And they had, yeah.
A group of monks over each cup of water with those words.
With those are sending.
Focus on the message, right? That each, you know, cup of water had on it. So,
right. So they had monks sending love, loving thoughts. Literally, monks would sit around the water and send love to that cup of water. Then they had monks sit around the sick, I hate you water, and send hate to that water. I bet sure the monks didn't like that one too much. They were like, damn it.
Yeah.
We got to get the hate one. Shit. Excuse my French. And then they had monks sit around the peace, send peace and serenity to that water. Then they had monks sit around the I'm beautiful and send, what's it called? Like beauty, per se. They
loving,
sent
accepting,
loving and accepting and beauty.
And they had a baseline. In other words, they had all the glasses of water before the experiment.
Yeah, this was like a full scientific experiment.
This was a full scientific experiment.
Each like glass hypothesis.
Exactly. Yeah. Each glass of water had the same molecular crystal structure.
Exactly.
Before the experiment started.
Right.
And then, so I didn't mean to step
on
you.
Oh, no, please, no. See, that was prominent information that I left out. Yeah, before they did any of this experiment, they got all the water from the same faucet, put every single cup of water under, their molecules from each cup of water under a microscope, and all the molecules were the same. Okay, keep this in mind. For a day, I believe, Dr. Michelle, it was a day.
Was it? I don't even remember how long.
I believe it was a day. I believe it was a day.
Their thought process was focused.
I believe for an entire day they meditated over the water. Okay. By the end of the day, by the end of the thought meditation, scientists then took each cup of water and put the molecules from each cup of water under a microscope. Get this. This is the cool part.
Yeah.
Okay. The love molecules were in this miraculous, magnificent, insane, geometrical, crystalline structure, completely altered from the first molecular structure. Which was just a general water structure. Now, after the day meditation on love, it was in this beautiful crystal form.
The patterns were beautiful.
Right?
The love.
Beautiful, perfect, perfect. When I mean perfect, I mean perfect geometrical
crystals.
Lined up crystal designs in each and every single
kinda
water
look
molecule.
Like snowflakes.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Okay. The sick, the one that's I hate you, you make me sick. Get this. The water was green.
And it had dark spots in it.
It
too.
Had
there
dark
was,
green blotches. It was like completely disfigured. The molecule in it was like not together.
There
it
was
like
no crystals.
Disfigured.
Patterns.
There was no crystal patterns. It was, they had patterns, but they were like skewed, and it was like messed up patterns, and it was green, and it had black spots on it.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Very
okay?
scary.
Like,
the piece had, it was a perfect circle with little, almost like snowflakes off of it, like snowflake things with, you know, a few other geometrical designs, but the piece and serenity was complete circle. Which I find ironic, considering
it was in
that,
order.
Yeah. Right?
The peace sign, right?
Right. That's what I was going to say. Okay. And then the I'm beautiful had kind of almost like miraculous, like gorgeous.
It was like
a yellow to
color to the to the examination of
the
water
beauty.
Molecules and the crystals afterwards too. So.
Yeah.
I just had a crazy thought. You know how you were saying earlier, like the universe is like a mirror.
Yes.
You know. When you describe a snowflake, a snowflake is something that you can literally cut in half and fold it, and it'll be the exact same design.
Exactly.
That's really smart.
That's beautiful.
We actually have a caller on the air. Let me get this. You're live on the air, Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. Who are we speaking to?
I think they're gone.
Hello?
Laura.
All righty.
thanks for calling in.
That's right. What you were saying, too, and I was just going to also follow up by saying that what we're talking about is that basically the experiment that thought, the way you think on a constant basis, affects the molecules, affects people around you, affects everything.
Right.
Energy affects. So thoughts do have profound influence on over on your life, what you create, what you want, the people you attract.
Right.
And if you want to rent that movie, by the way, it's What the Bleep Do We Know? You will see that experiment in the movie.
Literally the name of the movie is What the Bleep Do We Know? And we're not like bleeping out like,
that's right.
The name of the movie is
exactly.
What the Bleep Do We Know? It involves actually, believe it or not, the author of The Intention Experiment, Lynn McTaggart, is featured in that movie.
She's awesome.
She speaks.
She's amazing.
Right. Along with Ramtha, who channels an energy, per se. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people believe in channeling, some people don't. Personally, I think it's a cool idea. I believe in the fact of, you know, thoughts work off of vibrations. And, you know, we can go into that or whatever. But basically, you know, it's basically just another energy or another consciousness, vibration, clicking on to a human being's vibration. And then that vibration just channeling through that human's consciousness to spread information. It's honestly, it is simple physics if you think about
it's
it in terms.
Pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah. Well, not simple physics, but physics.
Probably is very simple if you were to be able to break it down.
Yeah, if you break it down and you think about it in as physics, it is simple. It is vibrations rising to, you know.
Exactly. And go ahead, Kev.
I was just going to say just... The thing for me is I've been a very, like, realistic person, scientific, like, prove it, you know?
Yeah.
And I've always had these conversations with Dave about, like, how thoughts are vibrations and, like, how they can, like, affect your surroundings. Mm-hmm. And I was into it, and, like, I didn't 100% believe it, but I thought it was a really, really good concept and just, like, to apply it to your life and just have it and use it as, kind of as a tool for your life.
Yes.
Right.
And then after this experiment... And just, it's a scientific, it's like a documented experiment. It's 100% legit. Like, they use expensive equipment, scientists from universities, and it kind of puts the icing on the cake for me that it's a reality.
Yeah.
And that's where
cool.
they can measure, it's like the Curlian photography energies around things and individuals.
They speak about that in this book.
Things, plants.
Just to let you guys know what Curlian photography is a camera, it is photography that allows for to see electromagnetic waves, which is energy. Every human being, it is proven, is a proven fact. It has, once again, nothing to do with religion. Because that's another thing that I want to touch on. A lot of people, you know, they get this topic. They get spirituality, per se. They get it tangled in with religion. This is not a religion. It has nothing to do with religion whatsoever. It is simply... the way that, like, proven things of, like, the way that things flow. For example, people have energy. People emit energy. Auras, per se. If you guys don't know what an aura is, it is the energy that a person emits. It's almost just like a big circle of energy around you that you're constantly emitting all times. It is the very life force that keeps you breathing. This is something... that I wanted to talk about in this book. It's cool. So Lynn McTaggart, the author, got a few scientists to get healers. And what healers are, there's people on this planet that have been blessed with the energy, per se, to heal other people with their energy. It's just another type of energy that is a healing type of energy, per se. And what... she did is she got 40 healers worldwide. She got 40 healers to put their hands under this electromagnetic wave or the CCR. What's it called? What's the camera called?
Oh, Curlian photography.
Curlian photography. Mm-hmm. So she got 40 healers on each individual counts to put their hands under this Curlian photography. Mm. And then she asked them to generate energy. She asked them to, it's called running energy, where you flow the energy throughout your body and... most healers heal with their hands. Some healers heal with their eyes. Some healers just heal with their presence. So right when she asked the healer to run energy, the Curlian photography, the image was streams of light flowing out of their hands.
Wow.
40 different accounts. And then get this. This is the really, really cool part.
Were they all together, all 40 people?
No, this was on each separate occasions.
Oh, okay.
All separate occasions. Mm. This is the cool part. This is the part that got me, you know, where they got like voltage measures. They measured voltage.
Right, VUs.
Literally energy voltage, like electricity voltage.
Right.
They measured that. And it was when they did it with copper wire around the hand.
Mm.
And right when the healers would generate the energy, the voltage would shoot.
That's cool.
From simply their hand would shoot. And right when you would see the streams of energy flowing from their fingers, that is when the voltage would shoot up. They said in one of them, they said that the voltage was 100,000 times more potent than when they weren't generating energy.
Wow. So this is how she measured
thought
of energy.
Thought
wow,
of
that's
energy.
Very, you know, yeah. That's very scientific, which is great.
Yeah. And see, that's the part about it where it's not just like metaphysical babble. No way, dude. This is you know, like,
yeah.
And honestly, I'm not here. I'm not one to be like, hey, believe in this. I'm not saying that in any way, shape, or form. Every single human being on this planet Earth is entitled to what works for them. What I'm saying, I'm giving you the idea. And if it works for you, awesome.
Honestly, don't view it as, oh, I have to be spiritual for this to relate
not
to
at
my
all.
Life. Not at
not
all.
Not in the slightest bit.
View it as tools.
Yeah.
Whether completely. Like all religions are like that, like they have all religions have very good teachings in them to help you with your life and to live a positive life. So if you don't believe in everything, you don't have to.
Right.
You don't have to be fully committed. You can take what you think is proper and use it as tools for your life to help grow as a person.
Totally.
There's a thing. There's a study. If I can interject too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's really close in psychotherapy. You know, as a psychologist, I have to read. I don't have to, but I read about all of these treatment types,
right.
You know, various treatment types. And there's one of the treatments that I really believe in, and it's called positive psychotherapy. And what it is it's the founder is Dr. Martin Siegelman. He's at University of Pennsylvania. Anyway, it's bringing light into the darkness.
Yeah.
It's the principle of positive intention. So what's so cool is one of the most important but often misunderstood principles is that all behavior was positively intended.
Right.
In other words, all behavior serves, or at one time serves, as a positive purpose.
Right.
So get this. In other words, if you're talking to someone, if I'm helping someone,
right.
The positive intentions behind aggressive behavior, you switch and you say, it's often protection. Your
right.
aggression is about protection.
Right. It's about covering something up, per se.
The positive intention or purpose behind fear is usually safety. The positive purpose behind anger can be to maintain boundaries. Hatred may have the positive purpose of motivating a person to take action.
That's so cool. That's and just from hearing that,
yep.
From my perspective, that's simply turning a negative thought, like anything that would be negative,
right.
And trying to find the most positive thing you can,
right?
That comes out of it.
And along, sorry, go on, Kevin.
I think that's so wonderful.
No,
like
it's
a wonderful
really cool.
concept.
And it's part of the insight therapy. In other words, if you keep saying, "I'm so angry," "I'm so mad," "I'm so hateful," "I'm so hateful," that's great. You can talk about your hate in therapy sessions, you know, for 10 years. How much you hate your parents? How much you hate? But if you look at it like it's
nowhere,
the positive purpose of motivate, what is the lesson
right.
from this hatred? What is the lesson for having these people in your life
right.
who are abusive to you?
Right.
The lesson is, oh my gosh, I'm going to turn this into a positive action of motivating me. Now, oh God, I'm going to have more empathy for my kid. So you have to turn it. It's not like always focusing on, yeah, I got to get the, it's important indeed to get feelings and acknowledge them. You have to bring them to the surface, but then knowing what the behind
right.
reason is,
right.
yeah.
you know, that's
something,
part of all
something
this.
About that though, which is actually Newton's law.
Yes.
Everything, when I mean everything, I mean absolutely everything. has an equal and opposite action and reaction. Therefore, it is your choice whether you see the positive or the negative aspect of it. For example, the hatred, like you were talking about.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, that's the negative aspect, but the positive has just as great of a reaction as it does the negative. The positive is the drive.
Exactly. Exactly.
What did you say?
I was talking to the lady who gave you that book.
Okay.
Okay. And she's very spiritual.
Yes, she is.
Her name's Andrea. And I was telling her about a client of mine years ago. We don't talk about confidential clients
or anything.
This
of
was
course.
Like 10 years ago.
Okay.
How she was having a lot of negative things in her life and how she got really sick.
Right.
All right. And the spiritual lady, your friend, my friend, said, what is the lesson she learned from that? In other words, physical symptoms are a communication that something is not functioning appropriately. It's a sign that something needs to be healed in your psyche. Something's out of balance. Your physical body. Again, here we go. The thought, the physical body.
Right.
The thought affecting the physical.
Right.
And that the woman, you know, brought up a beautiful thing. What lesson did she learn? Now, a lot of people go, oh, well, that person has terminal cancer. I don't know if there's a lesson per se in that right now because maybe they inherited it from their family. But we can all learn from how can I be a better, healthier person with my thoughts and more positive to heal my body in whatever way.
Here's another thing. This is, once again, scientific studies. This is proven scientifically. There are people that have had cancer, and I was talking to my integrated physical science teacher about this, actually. It's kind of cool. I was just talking to her about healing, per se.
Yes.
And I was talking to her, I was showing her different things about the fact. She wasn't having a good day, so I was like, Miss Nelson, I feel like something's a little off. You want to talk? You know? And she was like, yeah, something is really off, actually. So we just sat down, we talked, I helped her out with some stuff, and then she brought up, David, there's actually been scientific, like, studies that people with cancer have, with positive thought, mm-hmm. have gotten rid of the cancer, have healed themselves mm-hmm. from the cancer. Literally, their thought created such an energy, such a potent energy to overpower the negative mm-hmm. influence of cancer.
And teacher?
My IPS, Integrated Physical Science.
Wow.
Right?
She's cool.
Right? That's so crazy. Something just clicked in my head. I've had a personal experience where I've known someone that that has happened to. I was at band camp for 1 year over the summer.
Oh my God, was that like the movie? Band camp?
This one time at band camp.
So we lightened things up a little bit.
We played Spin the Bottle? No, just kidding. Go on.
So basically, my music director there was this really, really cool guy, like old, down to earth, you know. And he was sick for some years in his
Aww.
Life. And basically, he was diagnosed with something, I forget what it was, but basically, he had a year to live. And it's a 90% fatality rate. There's not really many cures for it, you know. And he would do these exercises every day, simple breathing exercises, breathing and meditation. And he'd just meditate on good health and do these same breathing exercises every day. And then the year goes by. He's fine.
Right.
That's
another
wonderful.
6 months goes by. The doctors are amazed at how he is still alive.
Right.
And it's gone. It's honestly gone. And the doctor said there's only been one other person that he knows who has survived that illness.
Wow.
And they did this, like, the very similar breathing exercises, relaxing, controlled breathing exercises.
Right. Mm-hmm. Something cool which has to do with...
It's the imagery with the breathing. You imagine complete health or tumors getting smaller.
Breathing
and focusing
is the purest thing.
Yeah.
That's
certainly
here's,
is.
Here's another thing about breathing. In yoga, yes, I do yoga. Okay, cool. in yoga...
That's great.
My yoga teacher, she's very into energy. She's very into that stuff. She says that when you breathe, like a slow... The slower you breathe and the deeper you breathe in, breathe out, that's how you generate prana being energy. That's how you generate more energy. Think about it. It's a breath. It's breath of life. Breathing symbolizes life. You can't live if you're not breathing, man. it's a breath of life, is what it is.
Physiologically speaking, too, if you are focusing on the breath, on slowing it, you're defocusing on other stuff.
Right.
Negative hundreds of thousands of streams of conscious thoughts that are coming into your mind that are what ifs and scary things and all. If all you are doing is focusing on your breathing slowly, that will change the chaos around you because your thoughts are not chaotic. Your thoughts are on slowing the breath.
Completely. This is one more thing that I want to read from this book, The Intention Experiment. Which has to do with, you know, the whole, like, water thing and the changing this. Okay, I'm just going to read one sentence because there's, like, an entire page that leads up literally to this one sentence. Within this page, it is proven they did multiple scientific studies on this sentence.
Okay.
Quote, when someone holds a focused thought, he may be altering the very molecular structure of the object of his intention. Once again. When someone holds a focused thought, when you think a focused thought, when you think towards something, he or she may be altering the very molecular structure of the object of his or her intention. So, the molecular structure, we're talking physical molecular structure. We're talking the molecular structure of a pen, the molecular structure of a chair, of a computer, mm-hmm. of water. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and you know, that's the thing. It's like some people go, well, who, what's the big deal about, you know, making a spoon bend? Or, you know, I saw this film back in the 80s. It was called The Geller Children. It was about these children who were pure thought, meditative kids who were taught to bend metal objects with their minds, which.
Vibrations.
Oh, right. What?
They talk about that in the book, by the way, The Intention Experiment.
But anyway, to make a long story short, these are just little experiments and little things to prove how powerful our minds are. You know, we're not saying that, you could sit around and try to bend spoons, you know. But, I mean, it's more like...
Well, you can if you want. Right, but
the power of the thought...
It goes way beyond bending a spoon.
...things in your life and stuff.
You know, it's all about creating the positivity within you to simply create a more positive influence for yourself and the people that you choose to surround yourself with.
That sounds like such a crazy concept, you know, like bending a spoon. But when it comes down to it, what you were talking about earlier with thought vibrations and changing molecules in the water, when you think about it, everything is an energy. And I've had so many things within my mind where I'm like trying to like formulate how it is.
Right.
And this is, can I tell you like what I came down
Please
to?
Yes.
All right. Everything is molecules. You can agree on that. Like, a desk is just made up of millions of
molecules.
Vibrating molecules. Molecules are energies. Like, molecules have energy. Like that is an undisputed scientific characteristic of a molecule, of an atom, energy within them.
The idea, what creates...
Splitting an atom. That's an atom bomb.
Right?
That's so much energy. Are you kidding me?
Right?
And then, if everything is... like, all the atoms are energies, then you can literally say that everything
is
in this
energy.
Universe, every single molecule is an energy.
Check this out. What creates the energy is the vibration of the molecules.
Right.
Okay, but of course the molecules are energy, because to be in existence, you must have your own vibration. For something to exist, it has to have a vibration. That's just the way it goes. I mean, it's nothing except at absolute zero. Nothing can be still. That's what absolute zero is. And guess what happens in absolute zero? Absolutely nothing.
Exactly right.
But what is nothing? You know?
Like that's true. That's true. Right. What is nothing? Absolute zero, by the way, is colder than the mind can perceive. Colder than the universe. It's the coldest.
Everything has a vibration, and exactly what, you know, we were talking about earlier in relationship to the experiment with the water and our effect on things, thoughts, and the Curlian wizards, you know, healers.
Totally.
Thoughts have vibrations.
Thoughts,
vibrations
indeed.
Have power to change things.
Yes, they do. Everybody, this is Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. I want to thank Kevi very, very much.
You're very welcome.
Dr. Michelle, thank you so much for always being a fantastic guest
my
on Teen
pleasure,
Trends.
My pleasure.
Teen Trends with Dave and Friends, latalkradio.com, every Sunday from 1 to 2. Check us out. Thank you very much. You guys have the best Sunday of your life. Keep thinking positive. It'll affect you more than you could ever imagine. You guys have a great day. Bye-bye.